The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless. The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. So reliable, it just goes on and on and on.
At nine, well, just banging on 9:30 essentially this Tuesday morning. As I say, it's great to have you with us. 51551, thank you for all the texts this morning. But I want to introduce you to a woman by the name of Sarah Donovan. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning, Ryan.
And thanks for coming in to us today.
Thanks.
What we're going to do is we're going to venture towards your story gently, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure.
And before we do anything else, why don't you introduce us to yourself? Where are you from, and tell us about your family and what's happening?
Well, I live in Knocklyne, so I just moved last year. Actually, I moved house in the middle of
it all.
So prior to that, I lived in Firhouse for about 12 years, and I'm actually from Rockbrook in Rathfarnham originally.
Okay.
So yeah,
married to
my husband Joey, and I have two children. Kieran is 13, and my daughter Anya is 7.
Okay, so nice busy house.
Yeah, very busy. Yeah.
And how did you meet Kieran?
Joey,
sorry, Kieran's there.
Kieran's my son.
I know how you met you, Kieran.
Yeah,
he was handed to you in a towel.
Yeah, so I met Joey.
Joey, excuse me.
I worked in Bugler's Pub in Ballyboden. I don't know.
Go on.
I met him there when I was 20. So yeah, well, I worked with him for years, and we started going out when I was 20. He would have been 21. Yeah,
and on it went.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so I'm now 38, so 18 years later, and we're still together. So yeah,
you have been planning about I think it was just May the year before last, 2019. You were planning a holiday to Lanzarote. Is that right?
Yeah. So my husband was doing a race over in Lanzarote, so I'd had that booked because he was preparing for the whole year basically before that for this Ironman. So he's cycling morning, noon and night. So that holiday was booked, and so it's a big race. So my mom was coming over to support him, his parents, my cousins, their husbands, partners, my brother-in-law, his wife. So there's a gang kind of going over to support
him. You know, they were quietly using his race as an excuse to go over to enjoy the sun.
It's Lanzarote. We go there all the time. And when you're over there for the race, the atmosphere is just brilliant, real festival kind of atmosphere. Yeah. So I'd recommend anyone to go over there at that time, even if, you know, you're not partaking in the event. But so we had that book, so looking forward to the holiday and all the rest. So about in early May, so we were going, I think the race was the 25th of May. So in early May, I was just in the shower as normal. And all of a sudden I had this noticeable lump in my chest. So I just like to say I was always very breast aware. I'd always be checking myself. Even, you know, watching telly, I'd always be kind of going along my collarbone up into my neck, just out of habit, unknown to myself, I'd always be checking. Mm-hmm. So this lump, I say, kind of arrived, you know, it wasn't there during the week. It was so big, you couldn't not but notice it. The other way, it was just, it felt like a mandarin in my chest. It was
That's big.
Like, it's just unbelievable.
Like a pea. You know, people say it might be a pea.
But that's it, because like a friend of mine, her mom unfortunately passed away when she was young of breast cancer. And I always remember her saying to me, her mom's lump was like a pea-sized lump. Mm. So in my head, the back of my head, I was like, oh, lumps are pea-sized. They couldn't be this big because it was massive. It was rock hard in my chest.
God.
And like I could nearly hold it and get my fingers in around it, holding it. Yeah. It was so big. So,
and you discovered this in the shower,
right? Yeah.
So. When you feel that, you know, as a woman, you feel this in on your breast. You know, this is the stuff that you've been reading about and worrying about and hoping it'll never be you.
Yes, yeah.
Did you think the worst straight away?
No, I didn't, because I was kind of thinking, sure, I'm only 37, I know now everyone gets breast cancer at very young ages, but you'd never thought it would be.
So you're quite cool about it.
But you know, it kind of went on. It was a Saturday, so the kids between all the different sports and everything, you know, you kind of went about your day and kind of put it to the back of your mind. So then that evening, then my husband was reading my daughter Annie just a bedtime story, and I remember just kind of cleaning up in the bedroom, and I bent over and I was like, oh Jesus, like this is massive, like this is not right. So my husband came in then, and I was like, here, have a feel of this is really odd. So he just had a feel, and then normally he'd be like, oh come on, like you're over exaggerating here, Sarah, but he was like, oh actually no,
not good,
this is not good. And when he said that, I'm like, oh no, Jesus, maybe it is something. So So then I, that was the Saturday. So the Monday then I made an appointment with my GP. So she's seen me Friday or Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So went into the GP and she had a feel. And, you know, sometimes you say you talk about reading a room, like she didn't give anything away. And I'm sure in the back of her head, she was like, oh God, like this isn't good. But, you know, she had a feel and she said, I'll send you off to the breast check. And I'll ask for you to be seen within 2 weeks. So I had in the back of my head, I knew the kind of triage, you know, and to be seen in 2 weeks, yeah. I think that's when the GP thinks it could be something.
Okay.
So when I was leaving, she just said to me, listen, when you're going to the hospital, just make sure you bring somebody with you. It's always good to have somebody for results. And I was kind of going, why are you saying that to me?
She knew what she was doing.
But
yeah,
then
yeah.
she said to me, I'm not saying that to alarm you. I say that to everyone. Yeah, yeah. Don't be worrying. And then like, I get on very well with her. She's lovely. So I was just like, okay, yeah, I don't think it is anything. But then I went home and then you're Googling and, you know, at this stage I had messed so much with the lump, it was kind of getting sore. So I didn't think that would be breast cancer because I thought breast cancer doesn't present as pain. So I had myself convinced then possibly it was a cyst or something, okay. You know the way. So got the appointment anyway for the following Friday, and that was the day we were flying out to Lanzarote. So I was like, oh, here, I have to get this sorted. So I ended up making an appointment in the Beacon in Sandyford.
Yeah. You went private just to get it sorted
because I said, I'm not going on holidays for 2 weeks and this hanging over me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, quite right.
So yeah, I went over to, they have a triple assessment clinic over there. So I got an appointment, thankfully, with them. So you go in there and you meet with the breast surgeon or breast doctor first. So she had a feel and she got this marker out and she starts drawing kind of circles all over my left breast. And I was
physically on you.
Yeah, yeah. For, you know, she knew I'd have to go for a biopsy. So she was feeling around and at this stage she could feel three things in my breast. And I was like, hey, hold on a minute. I thought there was only one. Like, so then she was asking, did you fall? Did you hit your breast? Anything like that? And I was like, no, there's nothing like that. So I went then, I had a mammogram. This is all on the same day. I had a mammogram and then I was referred then for a biopsy. So went in, I just say I went on my own to this because I hadn't told anyone at this stage. Only my husband and my friends knew because I didn't want to cause a big drama just in case it was nothing.
Okay.
So
good on you. There's lots of others who loved a bit of drama. You're not into that. I like that.
You know, because I knew I'd...
You cause all sorts of...
And it might turn to be something or nothing. So
yeah, good on you.
Went in, had the biopsy and the doctor doing the biopsy, he just said to me, he goes, listen, I think you are going to need surgery for this. So at that stage, now there was, the cancer word wasn't mentioned, but I knew at that stage I had breast cancer, even though it wasn't said. I read the room well that time, you know, the way, and even there was other people in the room and, you know, it was kind of real awkward and I'm looking going, you know, but so that was that then. So then I went on my holidays and trying to put it to the back of my head then for the 10 nights we were away.
Can I, before you go, because you're tipping along there and I don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
No, because it's just, I'm just curious. Some people go into that room and are told that and it's, you know, the Krakatoa in their head just explodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was your reaction to that news?
The
word cancer.
The word cancer when I was being diagnosed, when I was told, it's just kind of like, what? You know, the way I'm healthy, well, I'm relatively healthy, fit and healthy. It's just, you don't believe it. Like, you know, it was just, I can't even.
Is there a sense that it belongs to someone else? Do you know what I mean? That other people get it.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like, because I remember my husband when she said at the time when they told me I had breast cancer, they didn't have all the results back at that stage, but they knew I had breast cancer and that I would need chemo. So my husband was just like, chemo? He kept on going, she needs chemo. And that was the word. So he was in the corner every few minutes saying the word chemo. And I'm just looking around the room in panic. Like, so I just wanted to get out of the room because if I'm told bad news, I didn't want to break down in front of the doctors. Because I knew if I started crying, not that they would have minded, of course. I just knew I wouldn't be able to stop. And
Would that have been a bad thing, though?
It wouldn't be, but I just think that's the sort of person I am. I just kind of, she told me the news and I was like, okay, I need to process this myself. She was telling me all the stuff, the information, but it wasn't going in. Yeah. So I felt this is a waste of time. I just need to get out of this room and I'll deal with, you know, what's actually wrong with me or what treatment I need afterwards. Just get me out of there.
Yeah. And where did you go?
I went for lunch, actually.
with your husband?
We went into Herod's Way in Churchtown for lunch.
And how was that?
it was grand.
Was that a lunch to discuss it or to not discuss it?
Panic mode, because it was like, okay, what are we doing here? My husband's like, when are we telling people? Are you going up to your mom and dad now? Do you want to go home? And I said, we'll just go for lunch. And you think you wouldn't have an appetite, but I did. I had a big lunch. So, you know, see, you don't even think it's real. Like, you've just been told you have breast cancer, but you feel fine. Like, there's nothing wrong. I don't feel sick. The only thing I have is a lump. Yeah, so you're just like, part of you going, is it real? Is it true? Could they have got it wrong? Even though I know it was correct. It's just...
It's so much to process, isn't
it? So much to process, but to be told something like that, you don't believe it. Like, you know, it's, you know...
Why were you so concerned about... You know, I hear people, and I talk to guests like you, if you don't mind me saying so, Sarah, mm-hmm. in a different context, and the amount of guilt people feel
for
stories about which they have no right to feel guilty,
like you. Yeah.
Why did you feel guilty about, say, for example, telling Joey's parents? What were you worried about in that context?
You feel guilt because the amount, like, so you're diagnosed with a disease, but it just affects everybody around you. So, you know, even like when I went to tell my mom and dad and just going in to tell my mom and like, it's just like you're going in and sorry.
Yeah.
And you just kind of feel like
take a minute.
Yeah.
You did that great Irish thing. Which is, you say, sorry. Yeah. Sorry because I'm getting emotional for talking about my mother and telling her I had cancer. You have nothing to be sorry for. This is normal. So there was a time in Ireland where, you know, you shouldn't be emotional or whatever.
Yeah,
it's absolutely weird if you wouldn't be emotional.
Yeah.
Okay, so take your time and tell us about your mum and your folks and their reaction. Were they good about it? Were they upset or were they happy to mind you? Or what was it?
Well, I suppose I was just... me and my husband, we had our lunch and we said, right, I said, just have to get this done. I have to go and say it. So in the car going up, you're like, oh, Jesus, like going up here now to like ruin somebody's life, even though it's me and everything. Everyone just wants a simple, easy life. And I'm just like, oh, this is just going to be a disaster. Not a disaster, but, you know.
You were going to bring a lot of sadness to the door.
Yeah. And it's not like... I'm the child. You're meant to be looking after your parents. You know, it's not meant to be this way. You know, your parents are meant to get sick as they got older. It's not meant to be. They're not meant to be looking after their children.
You were thinking that way?
Yeah. So I went in. My mom was just sitting there having a cup of watching telly, and I just blurted it out, and she just started shaking and just like, oh, geez. You know, it's just like
a normal reaction.
A normal reaction, and then the blood just like drained from her face, like. In the space of 2 seconds, she probably aged about 10 years, you know, just kind of with fright. Then my dad was out the back and Joey was out the back with him. And Joey's kind of saying to my dad, you know, you better come in, come on in, because he could hear the commotion in the house. So then told my dad then, and the same, my dad just, he didn't believe it. He was like, no, they have it wrong. Should they get things wrong all the time? So he kind of spent a few minutes going, no, Dad, I do have breast cancer, and trying to convince him then that I had breast cancer. And I remember him looking at my husband as if to go, Joey, like, is this real? Like, as if Joey could fix it for him, you know, going, Joey, what's happening here? You know, just, so it was just, just...
Heavy,
like, and then it's just walking in and... throwing a bomb and just walking back out and just leaving a trail of destruction behind you.
No, I know you say that, but they were upset was because of pure, undistilled, undiluted love. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, so you know that now. You don't need me to tell you that.
But I know, saying it out loud, it's ridiculous. Like, to feel guilt about an illness, it's but it's just, you don't want to be the person that people feel sorry for. Or I want to be a strong person. And then all of a sudden, you're not.
How many rounds of chemotherapy did you go through?
I had 15. I was meant to have 16, but the last one, my bloods were too low. So I just had the 15.
Only the 15? What's wrong with you? You're so weak. We don't want somebody in here who did 60. Is chemotherapy like being punched around the place by Mike Tyson? Is it that intense in terms of what it does to your body?
After my first chemotherapy, I took a kind of an allergic reaction. My arm just started getting really itchy, and I was saying to the nurse, going, here, I'll just take this needle out here, and she's like, you will not, because I won't get that back in if I take it out of you. So then they gave me some medications, to like an antihistamine kind of thing, true IV. So after that, I was like, I couldn't, when I was leaving the hospital, I felt so bad. I couldn't speak. I couldn't walk. My husband was holding me up, But I was just like, oh my God, is this going to be the start of it now? Do I have to do this 16 times?
Yeah.
So my husband was on the phone to the hospital going like, she's in bits here, what's wrong? And the hospital were kind of trying to talk us through it. And they said they thought it was just kind of the initial shock maybe to my body getting all this chemicals being pumped into you. So at the start I was like, oh God, how am I going to get through this? But luckily then after my next one then I was okay. Like I managed it okay.
You found your weird chemo groove to get through it.
Yeah. I was never sick during chemo. And there was a lot of people that were. So, you know, some people are violently or get sick and all the rest. I never felt sick. But like that, it's like you said, it's like someone's, like you've been in a ring with Mike Tyson.
I just think of like the boxing ring or something.
You're just jaded, tired kind of all the time. Yeah. You're there in body, but not in mind. You know, when I look back, it was a real fog of a time. I remember a couple of weeks after I finished chemo, I was like, Jesus, like my head feels so clear now. So when I was going through it, you're in this fog that you don't realise you're in it until you're out of it at the other side.
You had operations that came with it because you carry that desperate gene.
I found out my oncologist referred me for genetic testing because I had triple negative breast cancer because I was only 37. So yeah, I found out that I have the faulty BRCA2 gene. So that carries a high risk of developing breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So for me, when I found out that I had the gene, it kind of made sense as to why I got breast cancer. No, other people don't have answers like that. But for me, I know it sounds odd because the fallout from having BRCA2 gene, there's a lot more to it. But at that time, it just made me feel a bit better in a really bizarre way.
This may sound like a cold question, but I'll ask you, what did you have to have removed from your body as a result of this?
I had a double mastectomy. So I'm in December. So sometimes women can have like a lumpectomy. After chemotherapy, but because where they remove a small portion of your breast, where for me, because I carry the BRCA2 gene, I would have been at risk of developing another breast cancer. So you're recommended to have a double mastectomy. So I had that in December. Yeah.
As a man, I don't understand what that might mean.
Yeah.
Can you endeavour to tell me and the male listeners, whatever about the female listeners who haven't gone through this? What that means to you as a person?
Well, initially when I was going through it and I found out I had the BRCA2 gene, it was a no-brainer. I said, obviously I have to have a double mastectomy because I am not going through breast cancer treatment again. I suppose at the time, I remember the nurse in the hospital saying to me, listen, when you wake up from surgery, you're going to look down, you're going to get a fright, because I couldn't get reconstruction surgery at the time. She said, you will get a fright, but I was kind of saying, I don't think I will. I said, I think I'm strong enough here to get through this because I know the risks of getting another breast cancer. But now, I suppose for me now, it's more, I know it sounds so small-minded, or, you know, it's just kind of even like clothes, all that kind of stuff. All women's clothes are made to have space for a chest. Mm-hmm. And I know you have like the prosthesis and all that, but it just doesn't sit right with me at now looking back, I kind of want to go and get reconstruction surgery. It was tough. It was a big operation, but
Was it emotionally tough to get over that? Or did you feel physically it was harder?
Physically, because when you come out of the operation, you have drains kind of coming out of the side of you. So I had them for about, I think, 10 days. Physically, it is tough going. But, you know, 2-3 weeks, I was kind of back in action, like... But it's tough mentally, physically, everything, you know, in your body, and you're relying on your family again to look after you and pick up the pieces around you, because physically you couldn't do anything.
Around the country, there are people, Sarah, whose operations, whose lives medically might be, say, it could be IVF,
it could be
cancer treatment. Everything was put on hold due to COVID. And it's something that unless you're in that world, you don't think about too often.
Yeah.
But you were right in the heart of it.
Well, I was due to, because of the BRCA2 gene, it's recommended to have my ovaries and my fallopian tubes removed. That was done in the end of July, but it was due to take place in April, but it was cancelled obviously because of COVID. At that stage, I knew, like, the doctors kind of had assured me, not assured me, but they, as well as they could, that there was, you know, that I didn't have ovarian cancer. I knew I didn't have ovarian cancer, but that doesn't stop your mind going into overdrive. I've had breast cancer. What's to stop my body not making me have ovarian cancer? So I was probably very tough to live with for them couple of months. Because I had that knot in my stomach going, I had myself convinced that I'm going to have ovarian cancer here. So my doctor was very good. You know, he'd be contacting me and just saying, you know, about the current situation, and it wasn't considered a major operation. But there are obviously around the country, you know, people that needed major operations, they were delayed. So I don't even know how they would have coped going through that when I, you know, it's...
And you got there in July?
I got there at the end of July,
I'm trying to figure out how you're putting one foot in front of the other at this stage.
Oh, with sorry, all this. Yeah,
no, just in terms of... No, not at all. Yeah. No, it's more by way of what's happening to your body. It's just been at you the whole time. The cancer's at you. The doctors are at you.
And your mind, it's your head mind as well. It's just the mind. It's like you can be as strong as you want and you can come across as strong as you want. But don't get me wrong, like this consumes my brain quite a lot. Thinking about cancer, reading about cancer, you know, it's tough. Like,
but where is your cancer now? Where are you at now?
Well, after my operation, I got the results on the 2nd of January. So I had the phrase is pathological complete response to chemotherapy. So that means when they took away my breast tissue and they done a biopsy, a sentinel node biopsy of my lymph nodes, that there was no cancer cells anymore in the tissue that they removed. So
I feel a sigh of relief in my head.
That's the best. That's what you want. That's I had the best outcome to this chemotherapy. So I'm so lucky because there's women out there that go through chemotherapy and they don't have that complete response. Yeah. So you're going through this, you're losing your hair, you know, your parts of your body, and you still don't get the result that you want. So I am extremely lucky to be out the other side of it now.
And how are you today?
I'm grand. I just I needed to get the ovarian surgery done, so now I kind of feel I'm ready to move on.
Are you?
Because it consumed me for so long because it was hanging over you, and you still have a lot of appointments and it's constant appointments, so it's hard to kind of get away from it. But then at the same time, you like the assurance of going in to see the doctors and them checking you over. And so I believe the longer you get out from your diagnosis, the better it gets for you. So you know, it's take it day by day.
Time to take back your life now.
Time to take back my
life.
Yeah,
a bit of normality.
Yeah.
Albeit in the middle of a pandemic. Good luck with that.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying my best. Yeah.
You will. Yeah, I have no doubt about it.
Yeah.
The Irish Cancer Society is asking people to have virtual cups against breast cancer, which is Coffee Morning, essentially October 5th to the 11th. Which is marking Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October on cancer.ie to go there, which is a lovely thing to do. I'm sure you'll want to get involved in that too, Sarah.
Of course. But the Irish Cancer Society have been great. When I was initially diagnosed, the nurse in the hospital, she handed me these booklets and she handed them to me and she said, listen, I feel so cold handing you these booklets. You've just been diagnosed with cancer, but I'm telling you, you're going to read these front to back and the information in them. And
she
never said a true word. It's written in plain English. I thought breast cancer is just two words. I didn't realise there's a lot more to breast cancer. There's so many different types of breast cancers and everything is explained in easy to read language. And as well, there was another booklet about talking to children about cancer, which is great information in that. So
the key to what you're saying there is get off Google.
Oh,
go to the leaflets. Go to the experts. Don't freak yourself out looking at Google.
Yeah, if anything, don't go down the Google line. Go to reputable sources like cancer.ie and get your information, or the nurses are there to take calls and to help you. As I've rang them a few times, just kind of ringing to say nothing, but they're just there. You know, that way to kind of go, what am I going to do here?
Well, so, the texts coming in are saying that you've told a lot of people's story this morning. They really are enjoying is obviously not the right word, but they're remembering it all and they're walking that road with you. Sarah Donovan, thank you to you and your family. We appreciate you coming in
today.
Good health forever and ever, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Cheers. Thanks for your time this morning. It's 7 minutes to 10.